And welcome back to our jump start on What's New in System Center 2012 R2. I'm Simon Perryman, Technical Evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm joined in this module by Brana Matheson, who's one of our Product Marketing Managers in the Windows Server and System Center team. Now, over the course of the day so far, we've really kind of set the foundation where we've deployed our infrastructure and we started monitoring it, both our fabric, meaning our hardware resources, as well as our virtual machines. Now, as we move to this model of private cloud, we really want to address two key private cloud concepts as part of this module, which is going to be automation and self-service. Now, with automation and self-service, we are essentially providing this connection between our infrastructure and between our end-user requests. So, Brannon, we're going to turn it over to you. Why don't you give yourself an introduction, tell the audience who you are, and then we'll jump into this module.
Sure thing. Thanks a lot, Simon. Well, I'm a product marketing manager on the System Center Data Center Management team, and my focus here today is all about what are we doing in the data center management space in terms of automation and self-service. What are the products that light that up for us? And the things that I'm bringing here to the team that I want to make sure that we touch on today is how do we actually enable our customers to become more proficient in managing the data center tasks, bringing the experiences from what we're doing in Windows Server and System Center together is where we've really been able to light up what some of those experiences might look like.
Excellent. So let's take a look at specifically what are we going to be focusing on now.
Okay. So for today, some things I want to make sure that we touch on are definitely going to be around self-service for the cloud tenant. And we define the cloud tenant as those customers that really take advantage of the private cloud scenarios and even some of the expanded cloud services through their service provider environments or even into their public cloud environments with Azure. The next thing I want to look at is what is system automation? What are the components within System Center, as well as components and third-party tool sets that customers are starting to take advantage of? Then we want to look at the process automation component of that, which is all about let's think ITIL in this case, and what are the processes, policies, procedures that our customers are starting to take advantage of and starting to implement within their environments and within their tool sets. And lastly, want to show what does integration look like across the entire data center suite.
Excellent. So let's start with kind of an overview here.
Okay. So let's just level set in terms of what does it mean in terms of the automation component. I'll just speak just for automation and what are the pieces that it touches on. One is Service Manager, and Service Manager is what houses the CMDB. Let's call that the Configuration Management Database. This is where we have our knowledge base, our data warehouse, all of our policies, procedures, service requests. When we think about service delivery, all of those components live within that element. And the CMDB is the schema for how those policies and processes are recorded and retained.
So the way I like to think about System Center Service Manager is kind of our IT department's brain, right? It's kind of the central processing unit, both from, you know, IT service requests, which we're going to cover in our next module, as well as just understanding how our infrastructure is constructed and dependencies as well. You know, if you make a change to one piece of hardware, one policy, one IP address scheme, how does that affect everything else that's related? And so that's a great example of how we use this CMDB, showing us this connection, this association across our data center.
That is exactly right. And we want to take it even a step further, and not just in the actual systems themselves, but also the processes, those software components as well as the policies that they're going to be taking advantage of.
Great.
The next piece that connects in the Service Manager is Orchestrator. Orchestrator, we think of that as the automation component. That is what is really the workflow, step by step by step, of what systems need to be implemented, what processes are going to be applied to it. The key components there are going to be runbooks and even PowerShell. PowerShell is what we see consistency in automation across the foundation with Windows Server, as well as the management layer with System Center. So that's where we see those two pieces come together. Next, we then start to think about integration across the stack. We're thinking the stack with System Center, we think about Configuration Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, Operations Manager, etc., as well as going out to the cloud. And that cloud can be, again, consistency across either one of the public cloud with Azure or with service provider environments that customers are starting to take advantage of. Then we have the piece of self-service, that is where our end users, where customers, enterprises can start to take advantage of their end users and let them use, let's say, a self-service experience or portals, let's say, across our System Center components to access and request services on demand.
So what is the benefit of having a self-service portal? I'm an IT pro. It takes me some time to set this up, to configure this. At the end of the day, what benefits am I going to get by offering a self-service portal for my end users?
Biggest thing that you're going to get to take advantage of is now IT can start to focus on what IT does best and let end users take advantage of the services they want to see, the systems, the components, the software, the configurations that they need to have unique access to as they need it, without providing more overhead to IT to say, let me go spin up an additional machine, let me go manually walk over and provision a unique feature or a unique function for XYZ person. So now they can say, hey, we have a set of rules, a set of processes, a set of
something that's standardized,
options,
right?
Correct, that they can now request and let customers take advantage of.
So essentially, our goal here with self-service is provide our end users with more control, which in turn will free up the time of the IT department. Let's say they have a service that's performing slow. They're not going to pick up the phone anymore and say, hey, infrastructure right. guy, go investigate. They right. could fill out a form, click submit. Hopefully we can have some automation to try to fix the problem. Only then, if we really need to involve our IT department, will we go invest the time. So I think
that's
this
correct.
Goes back to this kind of continual private cloud concept of freeing up time for our IT guys so we can do more with less.
That is exactly right. Exactly right. So now that we've done that, we see we have the self-service empowerment that I really want us to make sure that we touch on. And that's really around how we bring together Orchestrator with automation, bring together Service Manager with the CMDB, which then comes together and provides that consistent, standardized service delivery approach. And we see service delivery as both the services, the hardware, the technology, as well as the process.
Great. Okay. So our next question that I have, you know, this comes up a lot. We've mentioned standardization a few times. Why is having standardization important as we start to think about providing automation?
Biggest thing with standardization is we want to enable our customers to, one, reduce errors. And the more that we can standardize, the less errors that we can introduce into the environment. The other thing that we want to do is reduce costs, reduce overhead, reduce lead time to deployment or lead time to resolution. Because when we start to standardize, we have a consistent way in how these services get deployed, a consistent way in how they get requested, a consistent way in terms of how they get resolved.
Great.
Okay. So the next thing that I want to make sure that we touch on with service delivery, and I want to make sure that we capture this, is all around how are we going to do that automated service delivery. And we have two components here that we want to make sure that we, two perspectives, let me say, that we want to make sure that we touch on. One is when I'm a tenant user, and this is the person within the enterprise that is requesting services for themselves. I need it for myself. I need to request capacity. I need additional space. I need to raise an incident. I'm having a problem, just as you mentioned. Or I need to check on the status of something. I've made a request in the past. I need to go back and check on it, see where we're at in the process. Because what I'm ultimately doing is taking advantage of cloud resources that my IT department has provisioned for me or that is allowing me to request. So that's when I'm going to be using the Service Manager self-service portal. And that's the portal that allows our end users to go in and make those requests. The second piece of that is when I need it for my team, when I need to manage some resources that, let's say, Dev is working on a project and they need to spin up some resources for, let's say, over the next 6 months, not a year, not 2 years out, but I have a short window that I need a project to spin up. So I'm going to use App Controller to go out and manage that cloud for the rest of my team. Devs need some hardware, they need some storage, they need some capacity. That's when I'm going to use that environment to do so. Again, I only need it for a short period of time. IT doesn't need to go procure physical boxes. They don't need to send out their IT admin to go manually set up machines and configure them. We already have a standard templates in there to do that. And that's when you would use that particular scenario. So those are the two perspectives of self-service that we see within the environment today.
Great.
Yeah. So the things that that we really touched on that we're going to continue to fill in the gaps on with automation and self-services, we're seeing a lot of steps that IT wants to perform. For instance, they want to do some batch scripts. They want to do some remediation. They want to provision some resources. They want to manage change. Change is a big, big concern within the environment because as requests come up, different parameters are introduced, and we need to make sure that we capture that. We need to make sure that IT is adhering to SLA requirements. IT is challenged with being able to deliver services on time in a repeatable fashion. And then we need to manage capacity is another huge one. So those are the things that we hear customers asking for consistently time and time again. So how do we do that, and what are the things that we're going to deliver is all about reducing errors, reducing time, reducing errors at minimal cost. And those are the things that we're going to be able to introduce when we start to think about automating our repetitive tasks and simplifying how our users request services. Okay. So the next thing that we want to think about now specifically is those services for the cloud tenant. And what are those intricate components that we're going to start to introduce? So again, when we're thinking about requesting clouds, requesting services, and again, from a private cloud perspective, that is, IT now owns a set of VMs, a set of storage, an amount of storage for the enterprise that they're allowing users to request and own for themselves. And that's when I can now start to say, I need to apply my processes, which is all about I need approvals that usually go into play here. I have fulfillment that needs to be done. So that process is done within Service Manager, and that is the heartbeat of the policies for managing those clouds. And then with App Controllers, where I need to actually change and match to certain projects and initiatives, is where I'm going to start to manage those processes in App Controller. And we'll take a look at what that looks like in both of those two components just to see what are the pieces that makes that happen.
So you know, real quickly, I always get asked, you know, and you've kind of touched on this, what's the main difference between self-service through App Controller and through Service Manager? So just kind of want to emphasize this point. They are both self-service portals. You're primarily going to use App Controller for infrastructure-based requests. App Controller has that dependency on VMM. So App Controller tells VMM, go deploy a service, go deploy VMs. So think of App Controller as really the kind of the VMM self-service portal. Service Manager, on the other hand, can cover anything. It's highly extensible. It can tie in with any of the System Center components. It can tie in with Orchestrator. So think, just for infrastructure provisioning, App Controller, Service Manager is more comprehensive. It can cover everything else. So use your imagination. You know, we've even got a few questions come up already saying, can I integrate this with Service Manager and Orchestrator, that with Service Manager and Orchestrator? The bottom line is, yes, you can, so long as it has a programmatic interface. And what we mean by that is, as long as we can call it through a script, PowerShell, function, API, WMI, so long as we have a way to specifically tell it to do something, we can go and integrate it with our system.
Correct. So now, taking it a step further, let me think about what are the building blocks to this self-service request or to these service catalogs, let's say that. So we're going to dive deeper into that within ITSM, but I want to make sure we touch on it because that's what enables the self-service experience. And building a comprehensive service catalog, we think about a service offering. A service offering is the catalog, or not the catalog, but the group of offerings that IT is going to allow end users to request. Okay, this is going to have a number of request offerings associated with it. Okay. Request offerings are the specific requests that users can make. For instance, I want to request a VM. I want to request access to a cloud.
That might be in the virtualization service offering category
that
or infrastructure.
Correct.
So you're saying the service offering is the big bucket, a theme, and then the request offerings are individual tasks within that theme.
That is correct. I can tie multiple request offerings to a service offering.
And within Service Manager, can you have multiple request offerings in a service offering? Can you have multiple service offerings?
You can have multiple service offerings. You can have multiple requests within service offerings.
Highly extensible, then.
Oh,
you kind
definitely.
Of have that ability definitely. To customize it.
Correct. Okay. And so the other way that we can actually deploy, I want to make sure we touch on this, is using service templates. not the same, let's say, service template that we'll see in VMM, but these are service templates from the perspective of requesting services attached to a given request offering.
So like an IT service
you got
template.
It.
There you go.
IT service template, correct. Okay. And here's where we will use that to actually deploy or make that request offering available or service offering available for requesting. And then all of this is surfaced within the Service Manager portal. And that's where it will look in the form of a request or set of items that a end user can then select to make those requests on demand. Okay? So together, when we bring those three pieces, that together will bring the service catalog to life, surface within Service Manager portal. Then when I'm in the Service Manager portal and I need to request some resources for my dev team, as I mentioned before, I would then manage those in the next step within App Controller. Okay. So again, I want to make sure that we get this question quite a bit, as you said, Simon. This comes up time and time again around a service offering versus a request offering versus a template versus the catalog itself. So then we want to think about what are all those items or elements to a service offering that we can start to apply, and that's where we think about work items, and that identifies the unique components of what can be requested. Inside of that, then I can think about my service templates. I then bring in my request offerings inside of my service offerings, and I can use my templates to then bring all of that data in automatically if I have a standardized approach to that, and that's where standardization becomes real.
Now, with this self-service portal, we've mentioned that there's a lot of customization. I'm not a developer. I don't make websites. What amount of coding do people need to go to be able to, you know, create these custom offerings and custom templates?
So the biggest thing that IT, that what we say IT or service admin need to think about is what are all the types of services that they want them to have available. And we're using a lot of forms through our service templates, through our request offerings, through our service offerings. And they just need to identify where those services are and what needs to be allocated. Now with our GUI interface within Orchestrator, when we think about automating those steps, we have a number of objects, and we pretty much automate that in terms of walking the customer through what item they need to identify, what element do they need to identify, what are the parameters, what do you want to request. We actually have within those offerings, we say, hey, I input your parameters, input what the user prompts are, so we're not so much as hardline code that they need to really think about.
Zero. I think that's the long answer. Zero code is needed to go and deploy these service offerings, deploy these catalogs. Now, if you have some scripting experience, obviously a benefit here as you're doing the automation. But to go and build that web-based service catalog, zero coding, everything is built
Correct.
On Wizard. So, you know, pretty easy to kind of get up and running to, you know, get started with the Service Manager catalog.
Correct. So let's take a look. I want to take a look at what it looks like within the Service Manager portal. We can also take a look at what it looks like within the App Controller as well.
Sounds good. So as you switch over there, I'm going to ask one of the other questions that I get asked a lot is, I have a third-party management system, you know, BMC Remedy, Help Desk. Can I actually go and integrate that with System Center Orchestrator as well? And the answer to that is absolutely. So we actually have what we call integration packs. And basically, an integration pack is like a management pack for Orchestrator. It allows us to go and plug in activities. So we have these integration packs for all of these third-party management companies. So if your IT is already using, you know, one of these third-party management systems, it's okay. You can continue using that, but still take advantage of Orchestrator and all of our automation capabilities using these extensible integration packs. Back over to you.
All right, perfect. So what I want to show is what it looks like within Service Manager, and then I'll give a perspective of what users can expect to see when they step into the Service Manager portal.
Great. And okay. So what we are looking at right now is Service Manager,
is
this right?
Service Manager. That is correct. All right, so within Service Manager, what I'm looking at now is the primary console that admins will step into. So I see a number of options here within administration, and the thing that I want us to take a look at here is our library. Okay. So within the left side of our library is where I'm able to identify a number of, I have my service catalog here, and you'll notice I see my request offerings. And you'll see a number of request offerings that I've already set up here, request service. I can request a VM, I can register a tenant, I have a generic incident request. These are all requests that we've already created and that apply a number of parameters for each of those requests. I then have a number of service offerings which will identify both what are the different categories for the request that I'm going to be using or resonating within the Service Manager portal site. So if I am an end user, I'm going to go into my portal, and here's what the portal looks like. Okay. And when users step into the portal, they're able to see a number of different requests, a number of different offerings here. And in this case, I see my cloud services, and I have some private cloud infrastructure services here. Now, here's where I'm able to, those same request offerings that we saw in the previous within Service Manager that the IT admins or service admins are going into provision, they're going to show up here. And this is governed by what users are applied and what groups have access to which types of catalog items. For instance, IT admins, they can say, I want group A to have access to these types of resources. I want group B to be able to request a different type of resources. That's where you can apply those parameters within Service Manager and have them show up here.
And is this all Active Directory based?
Yes. So okay. There's going to be Active Directory that's going to be applied here so that I can set up different users, permissions, and roles. Okay. So now if I want to request a VM, a virtual machine, I'm able to do that here. Now, I've done this already, but I do want to show what the form looks like here. I'm able to step in and apply a title. I can apply different parameters for the VMs themselves, and then those can become available and provisioned upon request. Okay. So now, if I'm in App Controller, now let's say I've done that and I've been the Contoso user. I want to make sure that I've requested something, that I've gotten access to it. Within App Controller, you'll see clouds, and I'm logged in as the Contoso user, and I've requested some services, and now I've been able to see those resources here. You'll see two, one from a service provider, and then I've also have my Contoso internal, which is within VMM as well. So again, there's strong connectivity and integration between Virtual Machine Manager and Service Manager and App Controller, and I'm able to see those resources here, and I can see all the parameters about them.
Great.
Okay. So that's pretty much what you'll see within Service Manager and Service Manager and App Controller from the portal perspective.
Now, as far as actually displaying this information in Service Manager, what type of level of integration do we have with SharePoint?
So with SharePoint, with Service Manager 2012 R2, we integrate with SharePoint 2010, and that's what's leveraged within the portal, and we're able to also leverage that for reporting purposes as well as we think about some of our other reporting services that we'll talk about later. Service Manager and SharePoint are integrated there.
Right.
We do get quite a bit of questions around SharePoint 2013. That is something that we are working on. It's not available at the moment from an integration perspective, but we are looking at bringing that in. Okay. So we can continue on and step into the next section here.
Sounds good. Well, as you switch over here, I'm going to ask one of the other questions that I've seen come up, which is about how can you customize the web portal? So this interface you saw showing the Service Manager portal, how much customization can you do? Now, obviously, the internal parts, the request offerings, the service offerings, those are fully customizable. You have full control over that. As far as the actual graphical user interface, you have the ability to tweak things such as the color. You can change the corporate logo. You can add an announcement bar on top if you want. So there is some customization, though it is limited. And very shortly, I will go post a link to a blog that gives you some information about how you can tweak all those different things so that you can present the self-service portal as something that really is an offering from your own IT department.
And to take that a step further, we're actually making that one of the top of mind focuses for the Service Manager portal to enable both customers and partners to start in modifying or customizing that portal. So that's something that's definitely coming very soon.
Very nice.
That we're looking at. All right, so let me step forward. Want to step into the next section on this. All right, system automation.
All righty.
That's what, sorry about that. Sorry for the delay there. So now we want to think about how we're going to start automating how our systems and components within the enterprise start to work together. And again, we're thinking very heavily here around Orchestrator. What do customers want to do? What are organizations really able to take advantage of now with Orchestrator? You want to manage control and change. You want to make sure we save time in allocating resources upon resources upon resources to go provision some services. We want to make sure that we implement those changes consistently, and then we want to minimize risk. That's where we start to standardize the approach through runbooks and through automation. Okay? That's going to be the integration point with Service Manager, because now as I start to think about what are those steps, what are those processes, I'm bringing all of that information into the CMDB. That's the schema. That's the policy that I've applied at this point. So the thing that's going to enable us to proceed with a better service delivery story and a more efficient service delivery is all about making sure that the CMDB schema is very, very structured, to make sure that it's solid, make sure that it's secure, and then it's going to enable IT to really focus on what they do best and add business value back to the organization. Okay, so Orchestrator, just taking a quick peek into what that looks like, and I want to show very simple components of what Orchestrator looks like. We have our runbook servers, and we can have multiple number of those. We can scale, and we have numerous amounts of data on the scale limits and the scale limitations that are there within TechNet. We're able to capture that information. We have our runbooks, which are the heartbeat. That is the actual steps workflow. Think just a consistent org chart with objects that are kicking off commands, execution. Then we have our management server. That's the heartbeat of where all our database and all that information lives for what we're processing. Then we have our runbook designer, and that's the actual the interface that most admins will use. That's what allows us to apply a rich GUI and say, hey, I want object one to go do step A.
Let me take a step back. What exactly is a runbook? Can you define that for us?
Runbook is, as I said, is also a workflow. Think of it as just a step-by-step guide of what steps need to happen. And it actually looks very simplistic in terms of object one connected to object two, and I'll take a look.
So almost a Visio diagram type flow. This flows into this.
That's correct. You have number of inputs, number of outputs, and you can change the parameters of what each of those items do. Okay. So the automation concepts. I want to make sure that I cover this, and here's the basic elements of what Orchestrator will look like from a process perspective. Is I have activities. Activities are also what I call objects. And that's where I can bring in a number of steps. I want to query the database. I want to run a .NET script. I want to check schedule or something like that. I have a set of tasks that I want to perform. That's an activity. And activity comes in a number of integration packs. And I'll take a look at what some of those integration packs look like for R2. Then we have the runbooks themselves. That is the conglomerate of those activities brought together. So now I've brought a bunch of individual objects, put them together, and said step one to step two to step three to step four, number of inputs with the number of outputs. In this case, I want to create a checkpoint. I want to start a maintenance point, or I want to shut off or start a VM. I can do a number of those steps there. And I can actually talk to other components within the System Center stack. Then we have the data bus itself, which is used to publish and consume information that's coming out of the runbook. So the runbook is going to execute some commands, and I'm going to have this data bus which says, this is what needs to happen when and where. Okay. Then we have some standard activities. These things are just standard out-of-the-box components that were brought into Orchestrator. So when you go and install Orchestrator, you'll see these number of activities that you can generally run and start to bring together to create a basic runbook. I would suggest starting there with a basic three-step runbook to really to familiarize yourself with the environment and then start to kick off some of those commands. So I also want to touch on how PowerShell plays a big role here. And this is kind of the underlying component of what automation can do and how you can bring in those steps. And now we're starting to think about extensibility as well, because we want to make sure that we're providing customers with a rich set of tools that they can take advantage of within our stack, as well as what they've already invested in before. So I have a number of activities that I'm showing here that I can start to bring in, and I can use PowerShell to run commands, run scripts, and create more complex scripts as well. I can also think about nested runbooks, and that is runbooks sitting inside of runbooks, because I have some steps that I've already created, and I want to make sure, oh, I can do this all together in one lump step. I can bring those together and do that through those nested runbooks. Okay. So why PowerShell? Why use it? What is the benefit to customers? And this is when I have those daily tasks or I have those queries, I need to run some ad hoc reports, I can start to bring those in, and I have flexibility through my legacy environments, as well as taking advantage of some of the latest server tool sets that are out there with Windows Server 2012 R2. Basic thing is going to be easier automation. We're going to put in the legwork to really formalize what those runbook commands look like, or what those PowerShell commands look like, and then we're going to take advantage of the Orchestrator data bus to do that. Okay. So the next thing that I want to do, let's go ahead and take a look at one of the runbooks. I just want to show what that looks like, and we can look at a runbook and see how it works.
Great. So as you switch over there, our next question I'm going to address is asking about how do we go and integrate Operations Manager with Orchestrator? You know, a lot of times with Operations Manager, this is where we get our alert information from. Somebody said, hey, there's a problem with something. But it doesn't go and fix the problem. This is where we can really take advantage of our integration with Service Manager and Orchestrator. Now, Service Manager has the ability to go and collect information about alerts. So if you say, hey, if I hit this particular Operations Manager alert, you can configure it to go and actually create an incident, create a ticket, so that the IT department's aware of it. So basically, you know, that's not just saying, hey, there's an alert. It's there's an alert that we are tracking. Now, the nice thing about Service Manager is its tie-ins with Orchestrator. There's a concept here called an automation activity, where essentially you say, when I get this particular alert, we go and trigger this runbook. So as far as that question, you know, I get an alert from Operations Manager. How do I automatically fix it? You do have integration across these products to do that. Operations Manager creates the alert. Service Manager inventories it. Orchestrator can go resolve it. And you can even take Service Manager out of that equation if you want, because Orchestrator has the ability to directly receive alerts from Ops Manager as well. So it is integrated across all of our different System Center products.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So let's take a look at Orchestrator. I have a runbook up.
And can you just give us kind of a quick tour of what's this activity thing? You know, what's this integration pack concept?
Definitely. So when we open up Orchestrator, actually this is Orchestrator Runbook Designer. This is where we actually design the process or the workflow that I want to implement. And what I'm going to see is a number of activities on the right side. I have some basic activities up here, and these are the objects that we'll actually bring in. And we can say, hey, I want to end a process. I want to restart a system. I have my run.net script. For instance, you'll always see I can always just drag and drop and bring something into the runbook itself. I actually need to check that out. But that's what that's the step that you'll go through, is bringing those in and bringing them into your screen there. The next thing that you'll see is the number of actual integration packs, and you'll hear that word growing as we think about extensibility and bringing in other tool sets that customers already have. For instance, we have some integration packs with BMC Remedy. We also have some others with HP. You'll see some here as well. So what you'll see when you click on those, you'll see a number of steps or activities that I can bring in that actually integrates into an existing tool set that I already have in my environment. So you don't lose those investments that you've already made in terms of steps that you have that you're looking to implement.
So what is a good strategy? You know, we have a customer that's, let's say, already using this third-party ticketing system. They want to start using Orchestrator. What's kind of a good approach to think about? What can I automate? How can I continue using this with my existing systems and start to gradually adopt Orchestrator?
Biggest thing to think about is start with your simplest tasks that you appear to do repetitively over and over again that you're doing on a manual basis. Effort.
So you could just even start tracking day to day. What am I doing all the time? Is it onboarding 50 people every day?
Exactly.
There's a good place to start.
I have a new user and I need to provision a server for them, or I have an incident that's always showing up. We see this used a lot with incident and change management because I need to make sure that I go through the same process every time.
Okay.
So here's the activities that we were just talking about. So I have some examples here, and let's say I have a VM checkpoint management runbook that I'm opening up. And whenever you work with runbooks, you want to make sure that you do check them out so that you're working in a non-production runbook. You could potentially run into some errors if you make some adjustments or something like that while that runbook is still being used. So here is where I brought in a number of different steps and I want to initiate a checkpoint. I want to bring in a VM. So now I'm going to take advantage of where does the VM live? For instance, that VM may live, I may be calling out some tasks to Virtual Machine Manager with VMM. Here's where our integration with VMM is really, really big. Now I can think about, do I need to check and see has the VM failed? Do I need to create a new checkpoint for that VM? Do I need to make sure that VM is successful? I can go on to the next step or close that process. These are automated steps that I don't have to click into another environment to go do that. For instance, I also will also dive a little bit into what are some of the service management ones. Again, we have some change management steps. So I need to create a change request here. And I have some VM tasks there. I need to assign a user, and I have some parameters around that user that I want to that I'm going to be performing these steps upon. And then I'm going to send or publish that change request, and I can connect that into Service Manager, and that's where the Service Manager integration pack is really, really key to perform some of those steps. Once I bring all of these things together, the steps that are going to occur, I then can close this, I can save this runbook and then check that in and then run it. I can do test runs of that runbook with the runbook tester there as well. So that's how I'm going to start to bring these steps together and then feed that into Service Manager, feed that into what I'm doing for monitoring my environment with Ops Manager per se, or managing a VM within Virtual Machine Manager. So that's basic overview of what the Orchestrator Runbook Designer does, and that's how we start to actually bring the systems together. So we've touched on how do we actually deliver a self-service experience. We've touched on now here's our runbooks in action that actually automates the process. This is all the goo that happens in the background when an end user clicks on request services within the Service Manager portal. This is what happens. So we can step back to where we are in the process.
Great. Well, as you switch back, I'm going to briefly talk about integration packs and their extensibility. So again, integration pack is this collection of activities that we could go and import into Orchestrator to allow us to do these drag and drop activities. Now, most of our third-party OEM partners already have integration packs available, as you saw from that big list that Brandon had. But let's say they don't. What can you do? Well, first of all, we want to encourage them to build their own integration packs. You know, generally the companies that develop the product, they understand the insight and the nuances a little better. So first of all, if there's no integration pack, Go speak to that third party. Go speak to that vendor and tell them that you want one. Secondly, integration packs are extensible. So you have the ability to go and create your own. So let's say you have a custom line of business application. You're a travel agency. It's your booking service. You still have the ability to go and write your own integration pack, create your own activities that you can share. You can export the integration pack, distribute it to customers, and people can still take advantage of that. So again, even if there's no built-in functionality, it's fully extensible with our partners, or you can extend it yourself.
Perfect. So let's continue moving on with what we define as process automation. And we're going to definitely dive in this a little bit more in our IT service management session, and this is where we'll see some overlap. This is where we start to really bring in the processes that we think about from ITIL, if we're really taking advantage of the ITIL processes, but then starting to make sure that we implement it within our systems or within our tasks within Orchestrator and Service Manager together. So process automation is the processes that our people are going to go do, our IT staff is going to go do. And in this case, we think about what is request, approval, and fulfillment processes look like. Because what we want to ensure is that we're really bringing in a systematic way to bring in an end user's request, make sure that the appropriate people approve that request, and then that that request gets fulfilled and that it gets completed. That's not just sitting in Never Never Land somewhere. Because all too many times we hear end users request services and nothing ever happens. We don't know what happened because we haven't captured that information. So we're using runbooks to really go, make sure that we go through that process. So I'm taking that unique process and through and put added a runbook to it to say, here's what steps we're going to do. And then that provides us with, again, those repeatable service delivery mechanisms that we can ensure standardization. We're making sure that our requests are being fulfilled. We're making sure that our errors are being reduced because we didn't fat finger something or because someone forgot to do something and a certain customer still get their services provisioned. Okay, so the components here of what that process or service delivery looks like, we think about some of the key deliverables or the key processes from ITIL: release management, change management, self-service. We definitely want to think about reporting and incident management. Incident management is a big one to make sure that we're capturing, proactively capturing errors or potential errors in the environment. And the processes that we are applying to that are all in our workflows, our service catalog, our templates, and in our data warehouse. And this may be a new word. Our data warehouse is where we're storing all of the actual data from service requests or issues that have occurred, and we're bringing that together in partnership with the CMDB or the Configuration Management Database. We then have our integration layer, again, where we see System Center stack, we see our Windows Server environment, and our third-party tools, if we think about BMC, if we think about HP. We've even brought in some integration with VMware, with vSphere. So we want to make sure that we're capturing that, we're letting customers take advantage of those resources, and that is how we're actually delivering those services through automation. Okay. So what is the process here for how we simplify data center management? And the first thing is with Service Manager, and that's where we see our standardization as we've already touched on. Integration is where we see our integration packs, just as you've already spoken about earlier, and we're able to extend the functionality of our environment. And now, with System Center 2012 R2 and Orchestrator, we've seen our Windows Azure integration pack, and we've able to extend functionality or management into the public cloud. So that's where we can see our data center expand just beyond on-prem, but also to public or service provider environments. Then we have orchestration from the perspective of making sure that we're thinking about all of our infrastructure components, our infrastructure resources, and all the, let's say, management tasks that we're going to be applying to that. Because now we talked about our Windows Server components or provisioning that infrastructure with VMM. Now we can do that and automate those steps there. And then all those three things together will help us to simplify costs, simplify time, and help IT become more efficient. Now, the CMDB is where we'll have, as we've shown, a lot of the runbooks, the templates, the services, the VMs, hosts. Information about the users is really, really key because we want to make sure that we're capturing not just what components are using my environment, but who is within my environment. And the CMDB stores all of that information in all those templates. And that helps Orchestrator be able to call on the right commands and then drive the right steps in the process from all the way from request through fulfillment. Okay. All right. So last thing I want to touch on is integration, and I'll just kind of talk about what that looks like. And we've seen what the integration packs that we've introduced within Orchestrator, but want to make sure that we capture this within the stack all up. And I want to show that here's the three clouds that we're always talking about. We're talking about the private cloud, or you'll hear us say on-premises. That's Windows Server plus System Center, managing the data center. And we see the data center as a whole, not just one, not just three, but as a whole, and it spans across our public, which is Windows Azure, as well as our service provider environments. And out of the box, we're going to have integration packs or integration components for all of System Center, Active Directory. We've now introduced some functionality with Exchange and making sure that we're thinking about the user and admin perspective of Exchange. So now that's helping us to be able to send out notifications and awareness to both end users as well as information back to the owners of the requests as they come in, as services are being provisioned. Then we have our third-party tool sets with IBM, with HP, that are out of the box with 2012 R2. And then we have Windows Azure and the like in there that we've introduced as well. And then SharePoint is another one that we're providing an integration pack into with R2.
Now, there's one obvious one that I want to spend a minute on here.
Okay.
VMware vSphere. So let's talk a little bit about what comes with that integration pack. So with VMware vSphere, what we're essentially doing is we still are going to be communicating to vCenter here. So essentially, the way we go and configure this through through Orchestrator is we go create a connector to vCenter. So that includes, you know, the server name, user credentials, things like that. From that, we have full automation with vCenter, so we can go and spin up VMs, deploy things, take things down, query cluster health, disk health, things like that. So what's really nice about this, there's no dependency on Virtual Machine Manager to go and do this. So you still have this ability to go and directly interact with your VMware infrastructure. That's all I had to say on the topic. Back to you.
No problem. Then I also want to talk about our partner-enabled IPs. And we get a lot of questions around this when we think about what other tool sets can we bring in. Now, we have you can also download and work with some of our third-party partners on their integration packs to bring those into Orchestrator. We've worked with Calvarian. We see BMC, Dell, NetApp, Cisco, Vision Solutions are just some, to name a few, who are actually supported when we actually bring those integration packs within your environment. Some of those do have costs associated with them that we also need to make sure that we're mindful of, but we can bring in those integration pieces which are supported and integrate very well within Orchestrator. So what does the integration look like across the infrastructure? And this is something that is really, really good for us to capture, and that's showing Orchestrator in alignment with Service Manager and the CMDB. So the first thing we think about is we have the integration between the runbooks within Orchestrator and bringing in the steps, commands, and policies. Let's say Service Manager as the policy owner of what steps need to occur next, and that tells us which way we need to bring in information within Service Manager as well as the rest of the stack. And then we have a lot of configuration items as we will show, and as we've shown in Service Manager, where we bring in a lot of steps, a lot of activities into both Orchestrator and Service Manager and the like, and that's populated within the CMDB. We then have a number of commands that are brought into the rest of the stack, as well as our third-party tools, Exchange, and Azure, as we start to think about our workloads. because we want to make sure that we're providing integration into the workloads themselves, and that information is brought into both the orchestrator and Azure. And then the last piece is we have for notifications. This is where Exchange is very effective in making sure that we're providing insight into where we are in the process of automation steps that have occurred, that need to occur, what failed, what's successful. And then we're also driving reporting and data insights. And that's done through the data warehouse within Service Manager. And I can have rich reporting and dashboards, which we'll cover through Excel and or SharePoint, whatever customers want to take advantage of within their environment.
Great. So I had a question that came in. Now, as we were talking about that approval workflow, you know, we submit a request, IT department has to review it, click approve. The question came in, is there a way to have automatic approval? Let's say it's a cheap request, you know, saying, hey, I only need 1 gigabyte extra of storage, and we really don't want to have to involve the IT department either. Can we make this fully automatable?
That is definitely the case, because what happens is, that's the purpose of the automation functionality that we're driving with Orchestrator and with Service Manager, and I can drive commands that say, hey, this request happens consistently. It happens all the time. We don't need to wait for somebody to click a button and say, yes, go approve. I know that I've reached my capacity, or I'm at a threshold for my storage on a VM. I need more. We can go ahead and automate that process, and we have a threshold which we allow them to hit. I don't need someone to say, yes, go do that.
Great.
So that's about it for the orchestrator component and service manager component as we think about automation and self-service. That's those two components working together to drive a self-service experience for the cloud tenant, to drive system automation from the perspective of what are all the components within the enterprise that need to work together, that need to be integrated and perform steps to deliver and provision resources for end users on demand. And then we have the process automation, where it's the people and the steps that they perform to make sure that gets completed, as you just mentioned, the request, the approval, the notification, and the fulfillment. And that process automation can occur through Orchestrator and Service Manager, and then the integration, which is really Orchestrator talking to every other component, not just in System Center, but within the data center.
Excellent. Well, that's a great summary, and hopefully over the course of this module, you've kind of learned about these big values that we're trying to add with our automation and with our self-service. So by now, you know, we've kind of built up the stack. We got the infrastructure deployed, got it monitored. We've now provided self-service for people to make infrastructure or other requests. And then we've had that automation layer that really ties together this end user and their underlying infrastructure in an automated fashion. When we come back from the break, we're going to be discussing IT service management. So really focusing on how Service Manager can be that central brain, that central processing unit across your entire organization. Now with this break, we're going to take a slightly longer one, and we will be back in 15 minutes, joined by Brandon once again, to discuss IT service management. Thank you.
Thank you.